Very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Erevin Samach Vav, Erevin 66A, pagination page 131. We'll start from the facing page. So we're on Samach Hei Amid Beis 65B, pagination 130. About 12 lines from the bottom, in the beginning of the line, Rabbi Chanina Bar Yosef. Rabbi Chanina bar Yosef, Rav Chiya bar Abba, Rav Asi, these great rabbis, ikolu lahu pundik, they came to a certain hostel, the osa nochri mori de pundik b'shabato, and the owner of the hostel came on Shabbos.
The owner of what?
The owner of the hotel,
hotel.
Came on Shabbos. In other words, on Erev Shabbos, they felt that they were settled with their Erev Chatzeros, either because they simply were united in their food because they were traveling together, or they arranged it. And they did not anticipate that this non-Jew was going to come in, so they didn't make a kinyan from him before Shabbos. They didn't know he was here. And you're supposed to make a kinyan, you're supposed to make an act of acquisition from the non-Jew. That's how he joins the process, that he's one of the dwellers in the area, and he's not included in the Erev Chatzeros, the food, so you make a kinyan from him, you give him a token amount of money, and he's in. So they never did it, because he wasn't around. Amru, they said, Mau lemigma minei, can we somehow make this kinyan on Shabbos? Socha kima arev domi, renting from the non-Jew, is it just like the Erev Chatzeros? Mama Arev Mibbe'od Yom, and the Erev Chatzeros, the joining of the food, has to be before the day begins. Afsocha Mibbe'od Yom, so also the act of acquisition from the non-Jew has to take place before the day begins, and we missed it. Odilma, or maybe, Socher Kimivato Rishus Domi. Socher, from the non-Jew, should be compared to the case of Mevatel Rishus. You'll remember we did a case of Mevatel Rishus, which means to nullify your ownership. That if you have a bunch of people and they forgot to do an Erev Chatzeros, they could all make believe that they are nothing compared to the one owner now of the area, and then he's the only one who can operate. So there's such a concept of nullifying your Rishus. So maybe this dimension of the Erev Chatzeros process, where you're dealing with a non-Jew, maybe that has that type of rule. You're allowed to do that nullification even on Shabbos. So there's a certain amount of changing in ownership, transactions, things that can happen even on Shabbos. So maybe you can make the act of acquisition from the non-Jew even on Shabbos. So you have an apple. I didn't say that you have to handle money, but you have an apple, and you tell them, in exchange for this apple, do you grant us the rights of ownership on the area, and that would be your act of acquisition, and everybody would be happy. Rav Chanina bar Yosef Amar Niskar, Rav Chanina bar Yosef said, yeah, let's do the act of acquisition, we'll be able to carry. Rav Asi Amar Lo Niskar, and Rav Asi objected, he said, you can't do it on Shabbos anymore. Let's rely on the words that you're allowed to still do it. V'niskar, and let's do it. And we'll be able to carry. Asu shaylu leilu Rabbi Yechanan. Afterwards, they asked Rabbi Yechanan, did we do well? Amalohen, on today's daf, he told them, Yofa asisem shesachartem, it's good what you did, that you did the act of acquisition, even on Shabbos, you did well. Okay. Tahu ba Nahardoi. The people in the Beis Medrash of Nahardoi were in wonderment because they had a tradition from Rabbi Yechanan that was very different than the ruling that you just gave us. You just told us that you could do this schirus, this act of acquisition from the non-Jew, even on Shabbos. Tahu ba Nahardoi. Nahardoi are in wonderment. Umi Omer Rabbi Yechanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yechanan really say that? V'ha'omer Rabbi Yechanan said, Socher kema'ariv domi. a socher, a act of acquisition from the non-Jew, shall be compared to Erev Chatzeros. That's what he said. Very cryptic statement. Maybe it was during his shir, maybe it was after his shir. He made a comment that when you're doing Schirus, it's just like doing the Erev Chatzeros. My lav, probably what Rabbi Yechanan meant, was Ma ma'ariv miba'od yom, just like the Erev Chatzeros has to be in place before Shkia, before sunset, Afsocha miba'od yom. So the rental also has to be in place before Shabbos begins. In which case, there was no way that the non-Jewish hotel owner could still have a transaction with them on Shabbos that's going to work. He said it has to be just like Erev Chatzeros. You collect the bread or your makna, the matzah, before Shabbos begins. So you have to make this act of acquisition before Shabbos begins. Good. That's what they thought Rabbi Yechanan meant. And the Gemara expounds here and points out that there's so many other dimensions that you could compare socher to ma'ariv that's not true. It's not required to be done while it's still day. Lo, no. Ma ma'ariv afilu b'hochas mishava pruta. Just like when you do the joining by Erev Chatzeros with bread, it can be even with less than a shava pruta. We never said that the bread that you contribute has to be a shava pruta. You have to contribute bread. Afsocha b'pochas mishava pruta. So the rental can be even less than a shava pruta. Just do an act of acquisition. Umama ariv afilu schiro ulekito. And just like ma'ariv, when you're joining Jews, even schiro velekito, even the worker of that residence is able to join. If you have a worker of a non-Jew who is joining in your Erev, so he brings with him the property of the non-Jew because he's considered one of the so-called residents in that non-Jew's property because he's a worker there who has permission to leave his ladder there. So he's considered one of the residents in the non-Jew's property, and automatically through the Erev Chatzeros that you do with that Jew, he is bringing with him the non-Jew's property as being part, he's not going to block your Erev anymore. That's what Rashi says, the second line, Mama Erev hafilu schirto ulekito denochri im Yisrael hu. Umama Ariv. Again, afilu schiro lekito, afsocha afilu schiro velekito. Also, when you want to do this act of acquisition from the non-Jew, you don't have to do it necessarily from the non-Jew himself. You could do it even from his worker. Umama Ariv, chamisha sheshuyim b'chotzer achas, echad ma'ariv al yidei kulam. And just like when you have five people in one courtyard, one person from that courtyard can represent them and join. So chernami, also when you're doing an act of acquisition, chamisha shishuyim b'chatzar achas echad socher al yidei kulam, one person can represent the group and do the act of acquisition. So, in short, there are a bunch of reasons that you could use a comparison between socher and ma'ariv, and they're insisting, Rabbi Yechanan's position is that you could still do the schirus even on Shabbos. Now, we would have to see how this plays itself out in halacha. One interesting question that I'd just like to pose is when we do a schirus from someone in the government with the assumption that that person in the government, the mayor, let's say, has rights, or the chief of police has rights on every person's residence So we're invoking this concept of schiro velikito, that he's like the worker who has rights to leave something in your property. So to a certain extent, he's a resident in your property, and when he makes the kinyan with us, he's including your residence, and it does the kinyan properly, even though his name is not on the title of your home. What happens when that chief of police or mayor eventually resigns, is not reelected, dies, which happens eventually in the course of a 100-year community? Eventually things are going to change. What about the people who move in who weren't included in the original kinyan? If you would do a new kinyan, fine. But if you didn't do a new kinyan, so how do you have an inclusion on their property? Now, one area to explore, obviously, is that when contracts are tendered by the CEO, they are generally able to bind the corporation in events that go further than their personal tenure, right? People sign contracts that the next board of directors has to deal with. So perhaps that's the direction that we're going to go and figure out how that kinyan is going to work. But again, let's say you have a rabbi who makes a kinyan with the government, and then eventually that rabbi moves out, or that rabbi passes on eventually. So the kinyan was with him, and he was part of the Eruv, but eventually he's no longer part of the Eruv. So the Chazon Ish discusses what happens if he's away for Shabbos. And he writes, the minig is lahakil, even though he's not really part of our Eruv this Shabbos, but he's still part, he owns in the box of matzah, he's still part of the Eruv, the minig is to be linear. But what happens when he's truly gone? And again, you have to explore exactly what the original kinyan is, so that it should have perpetuation even beyond the individuals who were sitting at the table at that time. Yashikoach, have a great day.